Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Dear AFA. Today is Friday, February 25th, and this is Denver Council 9 volunteer Alan Ward reporting. Working families in Wisconsin remain under attack. Early this morning, the Wisconsin State Assembly passed an egregious bill that takes away the rights of collective bargaining for public sector unions. After debating the proposal for the third consecutive night, the Republican-dominated Assembly abruptly ended all debate before dawn this morning and approved the bill by a vote of 51-17. It still remains unclear what will happen as this bill moves to the Senate, where the absence of 14 Democrats who are standing in solidarity with working families has prevented a vote. Under the guise of addressing his state budget's crisis, the governor of Wisconsin, backed by big business, has been pushing through one of the worst anti-union bills in modern history. Tens of thousands of demonstrators from inside and outside Wisconsin have converged on Madison in recent weeks to fight the proposal, which they fear could encourage similar measures in other states. This has proven to be a valid concern, as there has been a wave of governors leading a coordinated, full-fledged attack on middle-class working families from states across the country, including Wisconsin, New Jersey, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Florida, and the list goes on. Wednesday night, CWA held a briefing call with union leadership and thousands of activists from all over the country in an effort to plan our powerful response to the attempts of those who wish to strip us of our collective bargaining rights. Further, all over the country today, CWA members wore red in support of our sisters and brothers who are fighting for their collective bargaining rights and in solidarity with thousands of CWA members who rallied in Trenton, New Jersey today. What is encouraging is that it seems even the public gets it. According to a recent USA Today Gallup poll, Americans strongly oppose laws taking away the collective bargaining power of public employee unions. The poll found 61% would oppose a law in their state similar to such a proposal in Wisconsin, compared with 33% who would favor such a law. Remember that what is unfolding in Wisconsin, as well as other states, is a direct assault on each of us as union members. We deserve to have a voice at work, and will stand beside our union peers across the country as their contracts face the threat of being stolen, for no better reason than to break the unions so they no longer have to deal with the inconvenience of collective bargaining. First, it will be them, but we know that once they have taken away the rights of one group, they will move on to the next, and it won't be long before they come for us. Now is the time to stand in solidarity. Now is the moment to put our words into practice. The Machinists Union announced today that the ballot count that began on Wednesday was completed today, resulting in the ratification of the 20-month contract. We understand a majority of Continental flight attendants who participated voted for this deal for a variety of reasons, yet everyone, yes and no voters alike, recognizes the need for more. We offer our congratulations to Continental flight attendants, and we can't wait to join together to begin the real quest for a contract that recognizes our place at the world's leading airline, the best of both. In the midst of this good news, the Machinist Grand Lodge made inaccurate statements that highlight their lack of understanding of how flight attendants are paid under the United contract. Their communication stated the hourly rates would mean flight attendants at Continental would make thousands of dollars more than United flight attendants. They failed to use the correct hourly rate figures and missed the point that it's about total compensation. Clearly, our pay rates must increase, and they will, to a minimum of the rates just ratified at Continental. But today, we also have the protections of duty and trip rigs that ensure that we are paid for our time on duty and away from home. We also have defined health care in our contract, while Continental flight attendants have health care based on company policy that can change at any time. Flight attendants at United also have the protections of lower premiums, thousands of dollars less for out-of-pocket maximums, and lower annual deductibles. It is not accurate to make statements on pay without including these provisions that make compensation comparable. When the best provisions of each contract are combined, there will be a flight attendant contract at United Airlines that will more appropriately compensate flight attendants for our work as first responders and our nation's last line of defense. Refer to our website for additional details. In the February 11, 2011 edition of Onboard Updates, management advised flight attendants that the Department of Defense no longer requires crew members of civil aircraft to possess a Geneva Convention card, the GCC, in order to be afforded Geneva Convention protections. Also included in the Onboard Update was a list of procedures to follow in order to account for the cards that have been issued. Since these cards contain personal information, including social security numbers and dates of birth, we have received numerous questions from members to express concern about having to return these cards without any assurance that their personal information would be safeguarded and what the procedure will be to safeguard the cards once they are returned. In response, we have advocated for a different outcome that ensures the safeguarding of this information to prevent any misuse, including identity theft. We have learned that these cards will be forwarded internally to the company's designee liaison with the Department of Defense. Once the card is received at WHQ, it will be reported as accounted for to the Department of Defense and will be destroyed by the company. However, given the fact that the company representative has no need to know your Social Security number or birth date in order for this reporting to be accomplished, management has advised us that flight attendants may punch holes through the personal information provided that the Geneva Convention card number remains legible for Department of Defense accounting requirements. Section 7E of our contract provides that for domestic schedule planning purposes, a flight attendant's schedule may not exceed 30 hours in any 7 consecutive 24-hour periods. 30 and 7 is calculated on actual flight time, thus not based on credited time such as deadheading, vacation, or sick leave. This legality does not apply to international assignments, but any time a domestic trip is scheduled within the 7-day period in question, 30 and 7 applies and may only be waived at the flight attendant's discretion. However, if flight time increases while flying out their schedule, the flight attendant must fly out the schedule even if 30 and 7 is exceeded. One of the most common legality questions we often receive at the beginning of the scheduling months is the application of Section 7E as it defines the 30 and 7 legality. If the end-of-the-month conflict, EOM, is resolved through a 30 and 7 waiver by the flight attendant, that waiver only applies to the 7 consecutive 24-hour periods involved. It is not a waiver for the entire month or anything beyond joining of the 2-month schedules. For more detailed information regarding the 30 and 7 as well as other legalities, refer to the Contracts section of our website. We have a correction to our Negotiations and You Winter 2011 edition. On the last page of the publication where we compare the proposals for the various medical deductibles, out-of-pocket maximums, copay, and coinsurance, under the current AFA proposed heading, the out-of-pocket maximum should correctly be listed as $1,500 per individual and $3,000 per family. This information has been corrected on our website. Don't miss the latest edition of the Dear AFA Industry editorial that was recorded yesterday by retired volunteer Jerry Butts. Listen to the message at 1-800-DEAR-AFA option 5 or online at www.unitedafa.org in the Dear AFA section. That's all for this evening. Thank you for calling and remain informed as we stand strong together to do whatever it takes to achieve an industry-leading contract.